the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Journey with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up, but let's get today's program started by singing some praises to our awesome God.
Our God promises to remember me.
Singing in a few minutes. Now let's get back to our continuing Bible story from the Bible in Living Sound.
It's a clear, warm, and delightful evening. Should be a good crowd.
Well, there's bound to be. I'm speaking to them with a healing session to follow. They love me.
You love yourself.
Of course I do. I'm a wise, discreet, sophisticated, perceptive man of God. Fact is, I am almost God.
People believe that, too. It's beyond me.
It's true. That's why they believe it.
You were born right here in Samaria, a human.
Jesus was born in Bethlehem, a human.
But he performed miracles.
So do I.
Yours are fakes, most of them.
There have to be fakes to start the people off. They see some lame person walk for the first time, and their mind is sure that they can, too. And they do. The mind is a wonderful instrument. It has more power and control over the body than most people think.
You are intelligent and wise. You seem to have a phenomenal ability to do just the right thing at the right time.
Of course. and I could give you examples by the score, but time does not permit me that pleasure. Are all the performers, fakes, as you call them, ready?
They are.
Do they know exactly what to say and do?
We have rehearsed until they are letter perfect.
And you're sure no one will recognize them?
Their own mother wouldn't.
Oh, you're a good wife and a great help to me.
Thank you, Your Royal Majesty.
And so, in conclusion, I shall again reiterate the facts behind my ministry here in Samaria. Jesus, my elder brother, and therefore my master, was here among you and proved his messiahship by word of mouth and performing of many miracles. But he could remain among you only 2 days. He loves you, even though you and the Israelites are enemies. Loving you, he wished not to leave you without a heavenly being among you, so he sent me. As elder brother, Jesus has the birthright of the heavenly family. But he loves you here in Samaria so much that he kindly left me with some of the power attending the birthright. Consequently, I can of myself heal some of you, providing you exercise enough faith, belief, and willpower.
Glory to God and hallelujah!
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 Now, my dear people, those among you who have any ailment, come forward. If you have the proper belief, faith, and willpower. I see that there is one brother already here. Step a little forward, please.
I can't, sir.
Try it. Here, I'll help you up. Now, what seems to be the trouble, brother?
My left hip bones were never properly developed, sir. They won't support my weight. I'm in constant pain.
You believe and have faith that I can heal your left hip bone?
Oh, yes, sir. I do. I do.
Then I say unto you, your hip bone is healed. Walk.
It's well. I can walk. Oh, sir, thank you. Thank you. You're a great man. A mighty man.
Be sure and tell everyone who healed you.
I will, sir. I surely will.
Sister, you're next. Step forward, please. Now, what seems to be your trouble?
I have a constant pain in my head.
Exactly where?
Here.
Oh. I'll rub the back of your neck while I command the pain to go away. Pain, I say unto thee, leave this woman. Do you still have the pain?
No, I guess not. It seems to be gone.
If you have true faith and willpower, the pain will stay away. If you lack faith and willpower, it will return. Young man, step forward, please. What seems to be...
Oh, the pain in my head, it's back again.
You lack faith and willpower.
Oh, yes, I guess I do. And I'm beginning to think Simon is a fake. Oh, he has certain powers, and he's wise enough to know how to use them to impress people.
What do you mean, certain powers?
There have always been magicians, fakers, sorcerers, and the like.
Is that what you think Simon is? Remember, many people in Samaria, among the high and low, the rich and poor, the powerful and weak, believe in him.
He talks too much about himself. It doesn't have the ring of sincerity. I'm going to find out who he really is.
How?
That's what I've been wanting you to ask me. Something happened today.
Something happened?
You know Samuel, who lives over on the next road. The one with palsy.
Yes.
And his friend, the one who couldn't hear a thing.
I know who you mean.
Samuel can walk now, beautifully, and do anything any normal man can do. And the other man can hear and talk.
Did Simon do that?
Simon did not. It was a man from Jerusalem.
Who was he? What's his name?
All I know is I saw with my own eyes Samuel walking, and as happy as he could be. And I talked to the other man, and he heard me. They were telling everyone about how they were healed, and that the man who healed them is going to preach tonight. I'm going to be there.
Probably everyone in town will, including me.
What do you think, now that you have heard Philip?
He's a powerful speaker. I noticed Simon himself was there.
And did you notice that Philip did not mention himself? Not once. Yes, he did. Just once, when he said he would be thankful to be persecuted by that Saul of Tarsus, if it would help the cause of Jesus. All he talked about was Jesus, and how the scriptures point to Jesus as the Messiah. That certainly isn't the way Simon talks. All he talks about is himself.
There were a lot of people there who were impressed and believed. Even I believed.
And I. And do you know why? Because Philip talks and acts exactly like Jesus did when he was here. Remember?
Many Samaritans believed Philip's message about the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ and were baptized, both men and women. Simon also believed and was baptized.
We'll continue the Bible story tomorrow, and if you would like to have these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible in Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye.
Your love for each other. other and do it!
God made lots of things to grow. Have you ever planted a little seed? Little seeds can grow into big gardens. Take a little carrot seed, put it in the ground. Water it and pull the weeds. Let the sun shine on your seed. You will see a little sprout. When it's grown, you pull it out. Now you have a carrot and it started with a seed.
Yes, this is the life. A warm spring evening, sitting on the porch, hanging out with my beautiful granddaughter, Mariam.
Oh, Grandma, I'm not beautiful. I look like a sheep.
A sheep? Who told you that?
Alexei Parrish, a guy at school.
Oh, yes, Alexei. Didn't you once say he dyed his hair green?
That's him.
Then you would certainly want to value his opinion on what's beautiful and what's not.
I see what you mean. But I wish I looked different.
What would you change?
Oh, my nose, my ears, my eyes. Basically everything from the hair down.
Let me ask you a question, Mariam. All those movie stars you see in the magazines, do you like the way they look?
Sure, they're beautiful.
Then why are they always having painful and expensive operations to change the way they look? Why are they spending thousands and thousands of dollars to shorten their noses, lengthen their chins, tuck their tummies, stretch their necks, or fatten their lips? If they're so beautiful, why do they keep trying to change?
That doesn't make much sense.
What makes sense is to just sit back and be satisfied with the way God made you. Stay healthy and strong, but try to look like a movie star? That's just silly, because they don't even like the way they look. By the way, I happen to know why they go through all those operations.
You do?
Yes. Every one of them wants to look like my granddaughter, Mariam.
Oh, Grandma.
Jesus wants to be our friend. He has placed in our hearts a desire to share our deepest secrets and brightest hopes with Him. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
Hi, boys and girls. This is Ms. Kathy. I'm so happy you've joined me today for another story just for you. Today's story shows you how great it is to have a pet and how sad it can be when a pet disappears. While Jenny and her friend Natalie search for clues about what happened to Butterscotch, Jenny learns some important lessons about forgiveness. Chapter 2, The Blue Ribbon Plan. Jenny's mother had her head stuck in the refrigerator while Jenny ate her breakfast.
"Genuine, is this your feet butter watch?" she asked.
Jenny's hand stopped halfway to her mouth.
"Huh?"
Her mom closed the door of the fridge and held out a glass bowl filled with something that smelled very strange. I said, "Jenny, what is this you're feeding Butterscotch?" She tapped the bowl with one finger. "And why is it in one of my good bowls?" Jenny finished another spoonful of Captain Crusader's cereal before she answered. It's a special diet, Mom. I asked the man at the pet store what would make Butterscotch's coat shine, and this is what he said to feed her. Couldn't you just brush her? Mrs. Wallace asked, wrinkling her nose at the nasty smell. Oh, I'm doing that too, Jenny replied eagerly. Mrs. Wallace spooned Butterscotch's food into a plastic container and put a cover on it. Let's keep it in here when she isn't eating it, she told Jenny. You can still use the bowl, although I can't imagine why you want to feed her out of a good glass bowl. So she'll feel special, Jenny explained. Mrs. Wallace laughed. Why don't I just get down the crystal dishes so she'll feel really special? Would you? Jenny asked hopefully before she realized that her mother was joking. As always, Jenny waited for her friend Natalie so they could walk to the bus stop together. Natalie had already heard about the pet show. I brush Butterscotch every night for at least 15 minutes, Jenny explained again. And she doesn't mind? Natalie asked. No, Butterscotch loves to be brushed, Jenny said, and she loves the special diet I put her on. It's making her coat really shiny. This afternoon during library time, I'm going to get a book about cats from Mr. Boardman so I can study up on them. Mr. Boardman recommended a book called Me and My Cat. Jenny put it in her book bag and took it with her everywhere she went, reading it at lunch and sometimes during recess. Natalie jumped rope on the playground beside her. Come on, Jenny, she called. You can read that old book anytime. Let's skip rope. If we find someone else, we can practice doubles. Jenny looked up from her book and tried to block the sunshine with one hand. I can't, Natalie. I only have a little time to learn everything there is to know about cats so Butterscotch can win that blue ribbon. Natalie rolled her eyes. That's all you ever think about anymore, she whined. It's not the only thing, Jenny grinned, but if I don't learn about cats, I won't win. Yeah, yeah. Natalie's jump rope blurred with speed as she jumped hot peppers. Well, let me know when you've learned enough. On Thursday, Natalie and Jenny sat together on the bus as they rode home from school. Do you want to stop off at my house and help me make room on my wall to hang Butterscotch's ribbon? Jenny asked Natalie. All right, Natalie agreed. But after that, can we play horses? Jenny nodded. Would you quiz me on some cat questions first? Natalie groaned. Do I have to? Yes, Jenny said. You want me and Butterscotch to win, don't you? Of course I do, Natalie said. I'm your friend, aren't I? When they walked into Jenny's room, Butterscotch jumped off the bed and wove in and out of their legs. I think she wants to go out, Jenny said. I'll be right back. Closing the door behind Butterscotch, Jenny headed for the kitchen. Mom, can Natalie and I have some lemonade? Natalie's eyes grew big when she saw the big, cold glasses of lemonade. Thanks, she said, sipping eagerly. I was really thirsty. Fresh lemon pieces floated around in the glasses, and Natalie fished for one, then bit into it and made a face. Ew, she said. Sour. Of course it's sour, silly. What do you want to do first? Ask me questions or make room on my wall for the ribbon? Natalie sat down carefully on the edge of Jenny's bed. Questions, she said. Jenny handed her the book and answered questions until Natalie got tired of asking them. Jenny, her mother said, poking her head into Jenny's bedroom, please be sure Butterscotch is in before it gets dark. Sure, Mom, Jenny said. If we hurry, she told Natalie, we'll just have time to make a spot on my wall for the ribbon. Then I'll go let Butterscotch in and we'll show her. Don't forget you said we could play horses, Natalie reminded Jenny. I won't forget, Jenny promised. Climbing up on her bed, she carefully took down her cat calendar and poster of a cat that looked almost exactly like Butterscotch and handed them to Natalie. Here, would you put these on my dresser, please? Natalie placed them gently on Jenny's dresser. Jenny bounced off the bed and walked across her bedroom floor to see how the spot looked from across the room. She looked at the wall and then at Natalie, who was impatiently tapping her foot. I just had a great idea, she said excitedly. Why don't you come to family day too? Do you think you could? Natalie looked surprised. I could come? Sure, why don't you ask your parents, Jenny suggested. All right, I will, Natalie agreed. Jenny pointed to the wall. What do you think, she asked. I think it's a good spot, Natalie agreed. Now, can we play horses? Jenny laughed. Okay, now we can play horses. They raced each other to the door. Just as Jenny reached out to open it, her mother came around the corner. Oh, Jenny, did you bring Butterscotch in yet, she asked. Jenny gulped. No, not yet, Mom. I'll do it right now. Mrs. Wallace nodded. Good, we wouldn't want her to be out after dark. You never know what could happen to her. Hey, Natalie said as Jenny came out, let's play hopscotch instead. By the time Jenny returned with chalk to make lines on the driveway, she had forgotten all about Butterscotch. When Jenny got back, Natalie had found a small stone to use as a marker. You first, she said generously. Okay. Jenny threw the stone and started hopping. They had been playing for about 15 minutes when a loud toot made them both jump. As they stepped off onto the grass to let a big station wagon pull into the driveway, Jenny frowned. Inside the car was Dee Dee's cousin, Tevin. Before Tevin or his parents could get out of the car, Dee Dee and her family drove up behind them. Dee Dee bounded out of the car almost before it stopped. "Hi, Jenny," she called. "Tevin and his family are going to move into their new house tonight, so we stopped by to visit on the way over." Inside, Jenny groaned. She looked nervously at Natalie and wondered if, just once, Tevin could force himself to be nice. Tevin's mother got out of the car, talking so fast that Jenny wondered how she managed to breathe. "You'd better get out and take advantage of the chance to rest, Tevin, because you'll get awfully tired unpacking your things and getting your room straightened out once we get home. I won't have a moment's peace until we get everything organized. Boxes, boxes everywhere." She turned around before she had walked halfway up the driveway to the house. "Tevin, get out and visit." When Tevin stuck his legs out of the door, his mother turned around and kept walking toward the house with Tevin's father and Mr. and Mrs. Adams. Before he got out, Tevin pushed back a little brown and white dog that was trying to scramble over his lap and get out of the door. "Stay here, Shorty," he said gruffly as he got out and slammed the door behind him. "That's a cute dog," Jenny offered as she watched the little creature scratch excitedly on the car window. Suddenly, the dog started bouncing up and down like a basketball. Tevin glanced at the dog. "He's okay for a dog, I guess." "Don't you like dogs?" Natalie asked. But before Tevin could answer, Natalie's mother called her from down the street. She turned to Jenny. "Sorry, guess I've got to go." "I'll see you later," Jenny called as she watched Natalie jog toward home. "Tevin," his mother shrieked, sticking her head out the front door. "Let Shorty out to do his business." "Yes, Mom," Tevin said, opening the door of the car. The little dog shot out from inside the car as if he'd been fired from a cannon. Jenny giggled at him as he darted around the yard, sniffing everything. "He's so short. He looks like a beagle that got cut off at the knees," she said. "I don't like dogs," Tevin replied sourly. "Why not?" Dee Dee asked. Tevin shrugged. "I just don't. I only like cats." "Do you have any cats?" Jenny asked. "No," Tevin replied, "but I'm going to get one real soon." "Can we go inside?" Dee Dee asked suddenly. "I'm getting chilly out here." Before they made it to the front steps, Tevin remembered that Shorty was still running around the yard. He turned back just as a horrible squeal stopped them all in their tracks. "What was that?" Jenny asked. At the same moment, she had an awful feeling that she knew what it was. "Butterscotch," she wailed.
The story you have heard today is a chapter of The Shoebox Kids, Book 3, Jenny's Catnapped Cat. Written by Celeste Perino Walker, edited and created by Jerry D. Thomas, and used with permission from the Pacific Press Publishing Association. If you're interested in any other books published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Children come, don't dare drive them away. In them the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.